Hallelujah. Yes. This is the day the Lord has made. Are you going to make the choice to rejoice? Or are you going to make the choice to be miserable? And don't blame it on the side of the bed you got up on, all right? That's got nothing to do with it. Oh, God. How's everybody today? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Remember, confession brings possession, and what you speak is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Would you turn to the Gospel of John? In verse 1, everyone say, Lord, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive, in Jesus' name. This message today is, of course, we have training here, don't we? We train. We prepare. One of the things the Lord always does is He tells us things to come. He begins to unfold things. It's called revelations, which come from the throne room of God, so that we can get understanding to know what time, season, and things that we're in and what's going, getting ready to happen. God never leaves His children in the dark. Does everyone understand that? The only ones that are left in the dark are those who are not following or hearing. That's why if you look, read in the book of Revelations, there were seven letters sent to the churches, and it said, and those who have an ear, let them hear. Because there are many people who are not setting their ear to hear. They go to church, they throw in their few cents in a bucket, they go home and they're about their own business again. Because they're in survival mode instead of surrender. They're out to live their lives and not the life of Christ. There's a lot of religion going on. And religion is not from God. Religion was promoted from darkness to keep people in the captivity. One thing the devil doesn't want you to know is who you are. He doesn't want you to know who you are because he fears you when you know who you are. So what he wants to do is always cause separation. The less that you are in God's presence, the less light you eat. The more you are in God's presence, the more you will hear. Although there are people that come to church and still don't hear because they're not setting their hearts to receive. Remember, you first must believe, then you receive, then you execute. And if you're not executing, execution is obedience. Does everybody get it? In other words, we execute not by how we feel, not by how we think, but what is truth. That's what we execute. We execute truth. So I don't come to fellowship because I feel like it. Does everybody get it? I come to fellowship because the word says, forsake not to assemble. So I'm going to execute obedience to come to fellowship. Because the more I execute obedience, the more God trusts me. Does everybody get that? Everyone here should have a desire that God trusts you. Amen? Everyone should have a desire to earn God's trust. Well, how can you earn your trust, His trust, if you're not obedient or submissive? Still living the life of what you want to do, how you feel, how you think, the way you think things ought to be. That ain't going to happen before God. And those are the individuals that are going to miss the removal because a removal is coming quickly. They're relying on their accounts, their treasures, their materialism, and their life, and their goodness. And their goodness stinks. It stinks. It's repulsive to God. He's not looking for goodness. He's looking for righteousness. His throne is established by justice and righteousness. And only those who are involved in justice and righteousness will have access to the throne. Other than that, you are lost. Living outside of salvation's truth. But I'm a good person. Don't mean stink. Why? Because you're eating of the tree of good and evil, which is headed to hell anyways. There's only one tree of life, and that tree of life is what produces righteousness, not good and evil. It's different. But that's how the devil deceives people. They perform a goodness act. Well, I feed these. I do this. I help people. I do this. I do that. That's not God's looking at. He says, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? See, you better know Him to get in. Does everybody get it? Many will come before Him and say, Lord, that's not the things I did. Look at, I fed, I clothed, I sheltered. I employed, I blessed, I got, man, I did all these things. He's going to say, I don't know you. What do you mean you don't know me? Because you ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not from me. You thought you were good. You relied on your own filthy rags of self-righteousness. But you didn't eat of me to receive righteousness. That's why he says you must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood to have eternal life. Forsake not to assemble. People spend more time doing their own thing instead of coming into assembling. The less you assemble, the more you become dark, easily deceived. Does everybody get it? Easily deceived. And John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Is everybody with me? Are you there? Verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read this together. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good, I'm getting there. Hallelujah. That was in the epistle. In the what? In the beginning. So what's the first thing God created? Time. Yeah, man, ain't that something? God created time. He had to take a chunk out of eternity and place the universe in something, so he created time. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now listen to this. The Word. What is the Word? The Word is the thoughts of God expressed. The Word is the thoughts of God expressed. Is everybody with me? The Word is the thoughts of God expressed. How? They are expressed. They are released by His breath, called the Holy Spirit, to execute His Word into a material realm. I'll say it again. What is the Word? Thoughts of God expressed. That's what the Word is. It's the thoughts of God expressed. Because if we were to really get His thoughts, we would blow up. We couldn't contain it. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, the thoughts of God, that's what the Word is. It's expressed. It's released from Him by His Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is known as the breath of God. So things that are brought forth into this realm, things are created, manifested. When God thinks, He speaks. Amen? And when He thinks, our words come forth, and they create, and they're carried and executed by His Spirit into a material realm. And it says, verse 2, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Why? Because it's Word of God is God's thoughts expressed. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness does not comprehend it. So when you're trying to talk to people and you wonder why they don't stink and get it, it's because they're in darkness. I don't get it. I don't get why they don't come to service. I don't get why they don't, because they're in darkness. That's why they don't get it. But I'm a good person. You're in darkness. Or God would be first. If He's not first, you're in darkness. If He's not your life, you're in darkness. If you're not fighting for the life of Christ in this realm, you're in darkness. Hallelujah. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was a forerunner of the return of the Lord, or the coming of the Lord, the first coming. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. He was a witness of that light, that through him they might, what? Believe, which means to what? Follow. So how can we say we're believers if we don't follow? Why? Because they're in darkness. How many of y'all know? Can you understand that even if someone says they believe, can still be in darkness? What does the Bible say? Even the demons believe, and they're still going to hell. Verse 8, He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, the true light, and the world did not know Him. So the one that made them didn't even know them. Can you imagine speaking to the one that created you and you don't even know He's the one that made you? Dear God. And they did not know Him. And verse 11, and He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as what? Received Him, to them He gave the right to become His children, the children of God. To those who what? What's the word believe mean? Follow what? His name. If you're following His name, are you following Him? Yes. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now look at this. And the Word became what? He's given you the conclusion. Here it is. This is the all in all of why the Word was sent into this world. Why John was a forerunner of the true light of God. Why? Because the world was in darkness. It was deceived by multiple religions, false prophets, doctrines of demons, seducing and deceiving spirits, pride, selfishness, greed, and everything else that holds and deceives and brings mankind into captivity. And so the Word became flesh, in verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. How do we behold His glory? The one that came. It was the glory of God that came into this realm. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was full of what? Grace and truth. John bore witness of Him, cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who was where? In the bosom of God. He has declared Him. In other words, God took a part of Himself and called Him Son. But He was God. Because God could not come into the physical realm Himself. He would destroy it, just His presence alone. That's why He spoke it in. He took a part of Himself and sent Himself into this realm, called Himself Son, so that people would see the Father in the Son. And He sent Him. Now listen to this, because this is so vitally important. He came with the fullness of grace and truth, right? So Jesus came in to declare truth to everyone and to make a plan. See, John was a forerunner. He came in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way of the true light, John the Baptist. Why was he preparing the way for the true light? So the true light could come, right, to bring a plan to escape, for man to escape darkness. He wanted men to come out of darkness because He loves us so much. He saw the torments and pains. He saw the lies and the deceptions. He saw the greed and the influence. He saw what the powers of darkness were doing to His people, and they didn't even know it. They didn't even understand the unseen influence that demonic forces were speaking to them, misleading them, causing man to kill man, separating men from God by selfishness and greed and perversion, lust. So Jesus came that He might bring truth and grace. Again, I have to emphasize that the word grace is not magical or mystical. Grace is the plan of God to escape. Escape what? The deception of the devil, darkness, and the wrath of God. Because if you don't escape the first one, you won't escape the second one. So, the true light came into the world. John the Baptist was the forerunner, preparing the way for the true light, so that the true light, the eternal God Himself, the Father Himself, God Almighty, could come into this realm and bring a plan. He brought a plan to escape darkness and the wrath of God. It's called the Great Escape. Everyone say the Great Escape. Go to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of people surprised. You got to think about this. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, right? Out of that generation, millions came out of, the word Egypt means bondage of the world. It was ruled by Pharaoh, or what they call Ra, the all-seeing eye, which you'd see on your money. When the Lord allowed them, pulled them out of the generation, the original generation, only two made it to the promised land. Two. There's a video on YouTube, it's called Placebo. In fact, we've re-edited it. And it was about a preacher that died and went to the throne room of God. And while I was waiting to see God, all of these people were going in one at a time. The angel let them know that only 95% of people didn't make it. 95 to 97% of the people did not make it because they thought they were good. And I believe that's why the Lord isn't here right now, because he would lose too many people thinking that they're good. So you're talking 3 to 4% of the people of mankind made it. That's incredible. And that's what he came back with the message from. And the Lord rebuked this man big time. He was telling God what he did for him. And the Lord said, you didn't do it for me, you did it for you. Everything you did in your life was for you, not for me. He thought he was going to cast him to hell. The Lord sent him back to give him another opportunity. Get it right. And tell people that only about 3 to 5% make it in. If I was to come right now, I would lose too many. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. This is John the Baptist we're talking about. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And what will he do? Well, he got what he needed. And he will what? He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will turn many. How many of y'all know we're forerunners of the return of the Lord? Aren't we to turn many also? We're no different than John the Baptist. Verse 17. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Hello? That's when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. You are now in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Except for you carry the spirit of God Almighty. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Does everybody see that? To be what? To make everyone ready and prepared for the Lord. That's me and you. That's what God has called us for. That's why you and I are still alive and not dead. That's why we're sent into this time, in this generation. Why weren't we here before? Or why aren't we coming here later? We're here now because we're the generation of his return. We are the generation that will see the rapture and tribulation. Ephesians chapter 2. Why do people say why? Because the word says, and I'm not going to go there, that when Israel becomes a nation, that generation will be the return of the Lord. Israel became a nation in 1948. A generation is approximately 70 to 80 years long. That puts us around, 2000 what? 18? 16? So he's got to come. Does everybody understand? He's got to come. That's what the word says. A generation is 70 years. He's got to come. Also, 70 is representation of Jubilee. He's got to come. We're the year of Jubilee right now. We're coming to the final blood moon. There is no more after this. This is it. The Tetra is it. The final blood moon on September 28th of this year is it. After that, it is the fulfilling of prophecy and the year of Jubilee. Oh, glory. And people are still out there, stupid, still so concerned about their life. Why? Because they're not seeking God. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. They're so busy. The devil's got people so busy that they're going to miss God because they can't have an ear to hear. They're going to miss. And when it happens, they're going to be deceived by false prophets and signs and wonders and receive the mark, thinking that it's a plan of the government to rescue them. Ephesians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Listen, this is a message of life and death and preparation, what's going on. This is reality. This is not a fiction or a story or a hope or a maybe. This is an absolute. These are absolutes. In verse 1, would you read it with me? And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So you and I were children of wrath. We are already under God's wrath. The only way out of God's wrath The way of escape is through grace, which is His plan. So that means if you and I are not cooperating with His plan, we're not under grace. That's real simple. Listen, if you don't build a house according to the plans, it's not going to hold, is it? Won't stand. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved. What's grace? God's plan. Plan of escape. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. In other words, this plan to escape is a gift from God. It's a plan to escape. It is a gift that God has given me and you to escape the deception of darkness and the wrath of God. Because if you don't escape the deception of darkness, you will not escape the wrath of God. It's a gift. It says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them or cooperate. In other words, if we're not cooperating with the plan, we are disobedient. Does everybody get that? If we are disobedient, then we're lost, living outside of salvation's truth. This has got nothing about being good. See, when people say they're good, they're relying on themselves. I'm good. And anything that man promotes is an abomination to God. We are saved by His plan. And these are to those willing to accept His gift and use it. It's not a work of man, but a cooperation of man with God. Has everybody got that? I'm going to say that again. It's not a work of man, but a cooperation of man with God. That's grace. To what? To escape the deceptions of darkness and the wrath of God. That's what it's about. That's why Jesus came. And Genesis chapter 5. God always makes a way of escape for those who are cooperating with Him. Especially before wrath, before His wrath, He makes a way of escape. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 5, in verse 21. Is everybody there? Genesis 5 and 21. Let's read it together. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now, Enoch walked with God. Come on. 300 years. You don't think he wrote something about that? It's called the Book of Enoch. He walked with God 300 years. You had to write something, man. You can't walk with God without writing something. He walked with God 300 years, and Enoch had sons and daughters. Now, we don't know the names of them all, but it says he had sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, look at the next verse. Enoch walked with God, and he was what? He was not, for God what? Took him. He raptured him alive. He took him alive right before the flood. Does everybody get it? Why? Because he walked with God. Only those walking with God will make the rapture before the wrath. Only those who are walking truly with God will make the rapture before the wrath. Only those truly walking with God, just like Enoch. Is everybody okay? Woo-hoo. Go to the book of Jude. Now, the number 7 means complete and perfect, and we also talked about the arena of 70 years, which is Jubilee. The book of Jude, verse 14. Is everybody there? Jude, verse 14, it says, now Enoch, the what? He was the 7th. Hello. Any bells go off? Ding, ding, ding. Warnings. Boo-boo. Yeah. Now Enoch, the 7th from Adam. Enoch was the 7th from Adam. And he prophesied about these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against God. Whoa. That hasn't happened yet. This was a prophecy that's coming. It's not been fulfilled. And the thousands that are going to be with him, it says, how many thousands? They'll come with tens of thousands of his saints. That's me and you. Those who walk with God and have been taken home, just like Enoch. Does everybody get it? Now, he explains some of this stuff. He says, these are the ones that didn't make it. They are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, their own desires, and their own will. They mouth great swelling words. Oh, they talk about big plans. They flatter people to gain advantage. He says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own godly lusts. Again, that's a lust. See, people think that lust is just sexual. Lust is not sexual. It's an overwhelming desire to do your will instead of God's will. Addiction is lust. It's an overwhelming desire. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. According to God, they're not His. In fact, the Word says the reason why they don't hear me is because they're not mine. Only those who hear Him are His. Those who don't hear Him are not His. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to verse 9 in Jude. Now, Moses was not allowed into the promised land. Why? Because he disobeyed God. Now, Moses walked with God, didn't he? He saw him face to face. He saw the glory of God. All kinds of things happened. In fact, Moses was taken up into the mountain, and the Lord showed him how to build a tabernacle. I believe he was taken more than the mountain. Moses was with God 40 days. Of course, in that realm, there's no space or time. He didn't eat or drink for 40 days. For him, it was 5 minutes. He walked out of the presence of God, and it was 40 days later. Oh, but he came down with the law, didn't he? But when the Lord told him, he said, listen, because the Israelites were grumbling and complaining out in the desert, and they were thirsty. I mean, God was feeding them every day. They didn't have to go to the store and buy nothing. Their shoes were growing right with them. And they were grumbling and complaining. They were thirsty. And so the Lord said, okay, bring them over here and strike this rock. Moses struck the rock. The water came out. Woo-hoo, everybody got happy. They continued to travel. They began to complain again. The Lord said to Moses, don't strike the rock this time. Speak to it. See, God was always fulfilling something. Why? Because the Old Testament had to do with rituals and ordinances, works, sacrifices. In fact, that's why Moses came down, the first set of tablets he came down with, they were building calves. Everybody put their jewelry together, all their gold together, and they made a calf and began to worship the calf. Moses came down with the law. And what did he do? He threw them. He busted them, knowing that prophetically, first covenant would be broke and it'd have to be a new one. Does everybody understand? So here, even in the when Moses spoke, when he struck the rock the first time where water came out, the water meaning spirit for drink. Why? Because you drink the Spirit. And the Lord said, don't strike it this time, Moses. Speak to it. Why? I have to fulfill something to come because it's going to become the new covenant will become a ministry of the Spirit that you speak things, no longer striking things. No more rituals. You'll speak them. Why? Because man will become my dwelling place. I will live in them, and their mouth will be my altar. And what did Moses do? The people were grumbling and complaining. Moses got in the flesh and said, oh, bam, and he struck it. The Lord said, because you were disobedient to me, because you pleased man instead of me, you will not enter the promised land. And so Moses knew the day he was going to die, and he said, okay, bye to everyone. He laid his hand on Joshua, passed on the anointing to Joshua, and Moses walked over to the mountain, and God buried him. But God also came to get him. Is everybody okay? In verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, why, the devil wanted Moses' body, when disputed about the body of Moses, daring not to bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So Moses' body, the archangel Michael came to go get. Does everybody get it? And the Lord brought Moses' body home. In other words, Moses was actually raptured. So on the day of transfiguration, when Jesus transformed himself into who he truly was, two beings showed up. One was Enoch and one was Moses. Why? Because Moses represented those who would die in Christ and be raised. Who showed up? Elijah and Moses, not Enoch. And I'll get to Elijah here in a minute. So here, Jesus transfigures himself. Moses shows up in Elijah. Moses represents those who died in Christ will be raised. Elijah represents those who are alive in Christ will be raised. And I'm going to go to Elijah right now. 2 Kings 2. Enoch ain't coming. He's there. He doesn't need to come. He's with God. He's preparing. Oh, glory. 2 Kings chapter 2. In verse 9. 2 Kings 2, verse 9. And so it was when he had crossed over. Everyone say crossover. Crossover. Hallelujah. That Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Now, Elijah knew he was going home. He was going to be raptured. Does everybody get this? He's going to be taken up. He knew it. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken up from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. In other words, you've got to keep your eyes on me. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind where? Into heaven. He was taken up alive. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. In other words, in representation of going over to the other side. So we've got two individuals. Elijah was taken alive. We have Enoch that was taken alive before the wrath, before the flood, right? We have Elijah that was taken alive. We have Moses that was taken up, representation of the saints that had died and will be resurrected. Amen? So then we know that there's, in other words, God makes a way of escape, doesn't he? These are called great escapes. In Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. In verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when, what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up. Who was taken up? Jesus. He was speaking to them. He was explaining to them that John the Baptist came baptizing and preaching the remission of sin. In other words, repent. But Jesus would come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit where you would have power. Power to do what? Cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick. Raise the dead. Drive out darkness. And while he was speaking to them, Jesus was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now, Jesus was taken alive. Up also, he rose, sat at the right hand of God 50 days later, poured out his Holy Spirit. Actually, 10 days later. Yeah, because he was with them 40 days. So now we see that God makes always a way of escape for me and you. Now Jesus will return, but he won't touch the earth. He'll draw his people up. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, hallelujah, everyone say the great escape. Everyone say, not everyone's going to make it. That's reality. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. Please read it with me. For God did not appoint us to what? But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Has everybody got that? Whether we are asleep means dead in Christ. We died in Christ, those who have died. Amen? Hey, there was even a resurrection, which I didn't even speak about. There was a resurrection. When Jesus died on the cross, in fact, let's go there. Matthew 25, I think. No, Matthew 27.
Glory.
Matthew 27. Is everybody there? In verse 50. Matthew 27 and verse 50. Jesus is on the cross. He's hanging on the cross, right? He cries out to give up his spirit. He's dying. He dies. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yield up his spirit. He died. Where did he go? Hell. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Usually it would tear from bottom, bottom to top, but it tore from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split. And the graves were what? Opened. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were what? They were raised. These are the ones who followed Jesus during his 3 years of ministry. They accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They died during that period of time. So everybody got it. These are not the saints from prior. These are not the patriarchs. These are the saints, the believers that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior during his ministry on earth. Their bodies were raised. And after Jesus and coming out of the graves, after his, so when Jesus rose from the dead, these bodies also rose from the dead. And what happened? They went into the holy city and appeared to many. Hello, that's resurrection, man. That's resurrection power. Now, they didn't get raptured home, did they? But they were raised from the dead to tell people about the true resurrection power. Can you imagine that? Graham! Uncle Joe! Aunt Lucy! Man, I thought you were dead! No, I'm alive. Let me tell you about Jesus. I was in heaven. Man, the word spread. People got saved, and the fear of God hit big time. Ooh, man, you ain't seen somebody in 2 years. Next thing you know, you're walking, they're knocking on your door. Hi. Snap. Praise God. So we are not appointed to wrath, but we are appointed to the resurrection of life, whether we are asleep in Christ or alive, as long as we are cooperating with the plan. Everybody got it? That's called the great escape, the plan. Amen? Go to Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and verse 10. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Because you have kept my what? Command to persevere. That means endure. Don't run. Don't be a runner. Be a fighter. I also will keep you from the what? Hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on it. Wow, that's God's wrath, isn't it? Amen? In Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, he shall be saved from what? The wrath through him. In other words, that wrath that is coming. Does everybody see that? The wrath that is coming. In 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we are not appointed for the wrath. The great escape is called the rapture. And it ain't a dance. Hello. It's a caught up. They're trying to rapture here. But they going to the wrong, that's the wrong rapture. They're rapping downward. They ain't rapping upward. Hallelujah. Oh, they're in for a big surprise. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Would you go there with me? Here it is. Are you ready? The great escape. Read it with me. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. This is representation of Moses. When Moses was, his body was taken up. Their spirit is with God. Amen. God's going to take a body, glorify it, and give it to them. For this we say, to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a what? Shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a what? Trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those dead bodies will come up. It doesn't matter whether they're cremated or not. God knows where all the dust is. He is God, you know. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up or raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? Because the Lord will not come to the earth yet. He will not touch the earth. When he touches the earth, you and I are with him. And all heaven will break out over hell. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Does everybody get it? So you and I are not accounted for the wrath as long as we are cooperating with grace. Once you stop cooperating with grace, God stops cooperating with you. That's why he says, grab hold of me and I'll grab hold of you. Let go of me, I let go of you. 1 John chapter 2, I think. Yes, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let's read it together. Is everybody there? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all this is in the world, the lust, the desires, right, of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is what? Of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God does what? Oh, abides forever. So if you're not cooperating with the grace, you're not performing the will of God, are you? So if you're not cooperating with grace, you cannot abide forever. You've got to begin to see what God sees. We've got to begin to look the way he looks at things. Does everybody understand that? So the only way that you and I can truly walk with God is by cooperating. We walk with him by cooperation. Amen? When you're cooperating with grace, you're walking with God. And you'll be taken. You'll always be rescued from wrath. But if you're not, you're touching unclean things. You're still doing your will. You're still promoting yourself. You're still building your own kingdom. And you're not building the kingdom of God. Then you're not his. You're just not his. Now, I've said all of this today to bring you to a very important point. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In verse 3, it says, while Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age of grace. The age of grace, that's what he's meaning. The age where there will be no more way out. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you, that no one mislead you through deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, men's traditions, governments, politicals, religious, false prophets. In verse 5, he said, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end's not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And we already see that those are happening. Why? Because seals are being broken. And they've been, I really believe that seals have been broken already. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, it says, then they will deliver you up to what? Tribulation, and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So we see that there's an arena that there's the beginning of sorrows, there's tribulation, and then there's great tribulation. Amen? And go to Luke 17. Oh, hallelujah. Luke 17, is everybody there? Verse 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here and look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of the one part under heaven shines to another part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. In other words, when Jesus returns, it will be like the days of Noah again. Well, what are you talking about, the nays of Noah? Well, you've got the beasts, you've got fallen angels, you've got all kinds of stuff going on. It says here, they ate and they drank and they married wives. Who's they ate and they drank and married wives? These were the fallen angels that did those things, didn't they? See, there's a lot of stuff going on that people don't even see or understand. They were given in marriage. Why does he say given in marriage again? There's two areas where he talks about marriage. Why? Because same-sex marriage now. Until the day that Noah entered the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, this is very important because I don't think enough people understand this part coming up. And this is what's been hitting me. Verse 28. Likewise, as it was also in the days of what? Lot. So God is telling us it's not only going to be like the days of Noah, it's going to be like the days of Lot. I keep hearing about the days of Noah, the days of Noah. But I'm telling you, we are now in the area of the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So, even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Does everybody get it? About 4 days ago, I was in prayer. And it wasn't 4 days ago, it was the last time I prayed. I pray every day. And God speaks to us in dreams and visions. And one of the visions that I had was, I saw Sodom and Gomorrah. And I saw it was raining, but the rain was a meteor shower. It's coming from meteors. And I saw two angels come and get Lot. And it was like I was standing there watching what was going on. And the angels came and got Lot and pulled him out of there. And when they pulled him out of there, and I went to the Lord and I said, what are you showing me? And he said, the day the United States approved same-sex marriage, signed their death certificate. I said, United States signed its death certificate? He said, yes. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I will come and get you. Just like he came to get Lot. The United States has signed its death certificate. Don't know when, don't know how, don't know what. Most likely it will be destroyed by meteor or meteor showers. Who knows? I don't know. But that's what God shared with me. Don't know when, don't know what's the circumstances, don't know. You know, I can only share what's what. Then we had a gathering yesterday I had a vision and I had another vision, and what I saw was bodies coming out of a river, and there were children of God coming out of coming out of the river, being refreshed and ready for battle and ready to do whatever they were, just waiting for orders from God to go battle. And today I had a vision of a huge round hole with fire, and bodies were coming out of it. And the Lord said, those are dimensional ports that we have to fight to shut. It's our responsibility to shut them. Is everybody okay? Genesis 19. Is everybody there? Now, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them. You got to understand something. They knew that they were angels. There was more visitations then. It says that Lot saw the angels. He knew who they were. And he went to go meet them. And he bowed before him with his face toward the ground. And he said, here now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly, so they turned to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every square surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. Homosexuality. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Nice father. They'd have to come over my dead body. I won't go there. Only do nothing to these men. They didn't even want the women. They wanted the men. Because of the perverseness. since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? These were the angels. Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because of the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who married his daughters and said, get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this place. But to his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him. They brought him out and they set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind. Do not look behind. Do not look behind. You do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul will live. And he said to them, see, I have favored you concerning this thing, in that I will not overthrow the city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city is called Zoar. The sun has risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire. That brimstone and fire was associated with it. I'm not going to go into it, but it's a time sequence in astronomy that you can see that it was a meteor asteroids that came down and hit there. And it came from the Lord out of heaven. This came from heaven, not from the sea, which everybody preaches about. People were saying, well, the God put it from the Dead Sea and threw it on there and lit them, but that's not true. This came from heaven. So he overthrew these cities, all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, and went and grew on the land. And his wife looked back behind him, and she became a what? Pillar of salt. She became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land and the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out to the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Now, there's something I want to read to you. According to the Torah, the kingdoms of Sodom and Gomorrah were aligned with these cities. There was like five of them. They were on the Jordan River. This was a divine judgment by God. This was passed upon Sodom and Gomorrah and two neighboring cities, which were completely consumed by fire and brimstone. That city, Zoar, or it was also known as Bela, was the only city to be spared. What happened to this? Well, because the sin, they fell. It was a manifestation of God's retribution. Sodom and Gomorrah had been used as a metaphor and a vice for homosexuality, viewed as a divination towards God. As you continue on and read about this, you can see that where the English word Sodom was used in the sodomy laws to describe sexual crime against nature consisting of anal and oral sex, either homosexual or heterosexual, or sexual activity between person or a non-human animal, bestiality. Some Islamic societies incorporate punishments associated with Sodom and Gomorrah in Sharia. There was a clay tablet that had been found by scientists 150 years. It's been identified as a witness account of the asteroid suspected to being behind the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Researchers who cracked the code and symbols on this plane, this sphere, this tablet, believe that it was recorded an asteroid thought to have been more than half a mile across. The tablet found by Henry Layard in the remains of a library in a royal place of Nineveh in the mid-19th century. It's thought to be 700 BC copy of notes made by a Sumerian astronomer watching the night sky. He referred to the asteroid as a white stone bowl approaching and recorded it as vigorously swept along. Using the computers to recreate the night sky thousands of years ago, scientists have pinpointed his sighting to shortly before dawn on June 29th in the year 3123 BC. About half of the symbols on the tablet have survived, and half of those were referred to the asteroid that occurred during that period of time. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And in fact, it's incredible as it may seem that the two places are one, Sodom and Gomorrah. The very name of these two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, are also associated with sins and debauchery. Sodom has become a synonym for perversion. The first description of a desolate territory in an area of once inhabited by wealthy, artistic sodomites as it appears today. The second description is a way it appeared earlier during a period of time in the tumult and also in the Babylonian Talmud. And it speaks about many of these things. Again, there was five cities there. The whole purpose of this is about the arena that has been proven that an asteroid or meteor shower has destroyed that. And there is evidence that it's very possible that there is one on the way now. I'm not going to get into all that right now. Hallelujah. Again, I can only share with you that the United States has signed its death warrant because it's approved same-sex marriage. But we are not accounted for the wrath of God. Does everybody understand it? As long as you are cooperating with the grace of God. In Genesis 11. Actually, let's go to Revelation 17. Is everybody okay? We don't have to fear anything, do we? Amen. Because when you're in divine order, you and your house will be saved. If you're cooperating with grace. If you're in divine order. Revelation 17. Let's start at verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls. Now the bowls are associated with great tribulation. You have the seals, which are the beginning of birth pains. Does everybody understand? The trumpets that are tribulation and the bowls that are great tribulation. Had seven bowls and came and talked to me saying, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot that sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. And the beast that you saw is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And I want you to understand that right now they're trying to open up the bottomless pit through a machine called CERN. It's in Geneva, Switzerland. It's 17 miles. I think it's like 300 feet underground and so forth. And they've already smashed two atoms. And when they smashed two atoms, things began to happen. People began to change. And some pictures were showing that they believe demonic activity came out because it's a port. And they plan on increasing it. They're doing it right now. It was shut down for a few years, and now they've reopened it again. And they're planning on doing this again in September. It ought to reach its max. We don't know what's going to happen. But the logo is 666. And the statue out in front of it is a Hindu goddess called the Spirit of Destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, and whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is to come. Now, Mystery Babylon, I want you to also get that. Mystery Babylon is also United States. Why? Because mystery means hidden. Now, we know that the Babylonian Empire ruled the whole world. In fact, the Babylonian Empire, spiritual Babylon, was ruling Rome. Rome ruled the whole world. It was known as the Babylonian Empire also. And in this, so we see that the Babylonian Empire is ruled by Satan's kingdom. And so we have Mystery Babylon also. So we have Mystery Babylon, which is associated with the United States as Mystery Babylon. I'm going to tell you why Mystery Babylon. In Genesis 11. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? You getting this? Praise God. In verse 1, now the whole earth had what? One language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, which is also known as Iraq, which we also call Babylon also. And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. Well, I wonder how told them how to build all this stuff. Fallen angels, Nephilims. In fact, Nimrod was one himself. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. In other words, we want to be like God. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be what? Withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from every there from over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. And therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad in the face of all the earth. Now, Nimrod was the one who built this tower. Nimrod was a giant. He carried the gene of Nephilim. One of the things they wanted to do was be like God. So, but he got it. Now, go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than what? Any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall what? Not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like what? You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Does everybody get that? So what was he trying to promote? He was trying to promote them to partake what he believed. Because he exalted himself above God, didn't he? And he knew that if he can promote this, that they would be separated from God just like he was. Does everybody get this? Now, on 9/11, the Twin Towers came down. It was a global event. The whole world's eyes were on the United States. The whole world saw over and over and over the newscasts and videos of these two towers coming down and killing thousands of individuals. I think it was like almost 5,000 were lost or something like that. I don't know. 3,000? I'm not sure. But thousands of them. United States, who has a Statue of Liberty out there, which people consider a woman. Looks like a woman. But it represents something else. And I'm not going to get into all that. And it's around waters, isn't it? So they began to rebuild. And when they began to rebuild, they built another tower called the Freedom Tower. This Freedom Tower is a representation of the Tower of Babel. And they wrote on it, we will remember, we will rebuild, and we will be strong. Who's we? Serpent's offsprings. It's the seed of the serpent. So now that they have rebuilt their tower, from that point on, everything is escalating. That's why they had to approve same-sex marriage. Why? Because they are purposely trying to destroy everything. everything. If you haven't noticed, in Greece, people can't even go to the bank. People cannot get money out of the bank. I see people buying gold and silver. Let me tell you, people cannot eat gold and silver. It will do you no good. Your bank accounts will do you no good. Nothing will do you any good. The only thing that people will be able to do is trade or take the mark. September 28th this year is the final blood moon of the Tetra. It is on a feast day, which cooperates with everything in history that something is going to happen soon. We don't know exactly what, but it's our responsibility to be awake, to be alert, and to be prepared in everything that we do. But remember, we are not accounted for the wrath of God as long as we're cooperating with his plan. But if you're not cooperating with his plan and you're still building your empire and you're still doing your will, you can be sure that you will be left behind. And if you are left behind, don't take the mark. That's all I can tell you. Don't take the mark. We are this close. Now, we know that the Pope is going to come. He's going to come here on the Feast of Atonement. And he's going to have a message. He's going to promote one world religion because he is an antichrist, false prophet. And so is that whole organization under Satan's control. And the antichrist is alive and is here now and is preparing and stepping into office. Obama is ushering him in. Obama is an antichrist, not the antichrist. And so are all of his cohorts and servants. There's just no way to government. And they've entered now in all areas of the Supreme Court. They've entered everything. There's no more constitution. There's no more country. You no longer have rights. It's over with. But thank God we don't belong to this kingdom or this government. We belong to the eternal one. One of the things that I really believe that we need to focus on is, what can you do besides be prepared and let the Holy Spirit train you? What can we do to promote the kingdom of God? First, it takes training. You must be trained up and prepared. You cannot go out there unarmed. You can't. God has given us enough time. He's letting us know what's going on. We still haven't seen the 7-year treaty signed, but it might be being signed right now. Now that they've approved Iran to give them billions of dollars. I mean, they spit right in Obama's face. What did they say? We're still going to support terrorism. We're still going to, that money you're letting us have, we're going to give to all of them. They said it right out in public. They don't care. But you got to remember, Obama's not for here or his people. They're against you. And all of these people that are expecting these big promises and all of these things that are going to welfare and all of these other things that they're providing will be taken away. People will be deceived. Everything will be taken. And the only thing that will be offered is a mark. Why? Because you won't be able to use your checks, your charge cards, or anything else. The only thing that you will be able to survive on is what you got stored up or anything that the Lord brings you. Because he can bring you anything. He can feed you. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. But you got to know him. There is a great escape only to those who are walking with him. Does everybody get this? Many will think they're okay, and they will find themselves left behind. Many. So this is a warning. This is a preparation. But there's also rejoicing, because we're not accounted for the wrath. Amen? So rejoice in the Lord and give thanks that he has called you and rescued you. Now stay in divine position so you don't lose. Don't grow weary. Don't let fear push you out. Don't let greed push you out. Don't stop trying to build your house and your empire and let the Lord build it. Amen? Let God build your house and let the Lord and Holy Spirit guide you in all the days of your life, because we don't have too much left. Listen, our future is in Christ. There's no more future here. Does everybody understand that? There is no more future here. No more. Our future is in Christ, not here anymore. It's done. So now use your resources to expand the kingdom. Amen? Use the wisdom and talents and abilities God's given you to expand the kingdom, because this place is done and we're out of here soon. So hang tough and get ready. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory and honor and praise, and we want to thank you. Thank you for preparation. Thank you for warning. Thank you for your love and uncondition. And thank you for the great escape. Thank you. We love you. We exalt you. We honor you. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll keep us in position. Kick us in the butt when we begin to move out. Lord, chasten us. Do whatever you got to do. Cause us to know and cause us to be prepared for your glory. in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Prepare your hearts for communion. You may bring your financial support up. And this is the blood.